call the March 4th Economic Development Planning Education Employment Arts and Agriculture meeting to order. Clerk Muller, would you call the roll, please?
Chair Sperry.
I am here.
Deputy Chair Litz.
Here.
Legislator Clinton.
Here.
Legislator Corcoran.
Here.
Legislator Hewitt.
Here.
Legislator Stewart.
Here.
Legislator Wolf.
Here.
You have a full complement.
Wonderful. Thank you. Legislator Litz, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pretty here.
Very sneaky.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Thank you so much. All right, so I just wanted to remind everybody that priority is given to committee members for discussion and questions. If resolution sponsors are here, they are also given priority, and it's up to the chair's discretion to open the meeting to non-members. Tonight we have Hillary Nichols, the Executive Director of the Ulster County IDA, here to give us a little presentation on some updates and some different events or workshops that they've been having. Yes, please.
I got that. Thanks.
All right. Hi. So thank you, Chair Sperry, for inviting myself. I know our the chair of the IDA, Michael Hamm, had really wanted to be here, but unfortunately he had to be up in Albany tonight, so you're stuck with just me. And in several conversations with Jay, you know, she suggested I could bring a PowerPoint. So I'm going to keep it to 10 minutes, I promise, because I know everyone here has probably had a long day. And so I'm going to go through this. I promise it's only six slides, but then I think maybe questions would be, you know, what's burning on everyone's mind, and I'm happy to answer them to the best of my ability. Okay, so this is our mission. I didn't know how familiar everyone at the table is with the IDA, so I kind of want to just level set everything. So the mission of the IDA is to advance job opportunities, general prosperity, and long-term economic vitality of Ulster County residents by targeting tax incentives, bondings, and other assistance to foster the creation and attraction of new businesses and the retention and expansion of existing businesses. When I say the IDA eats, sleeps, and breathes this, they really do. Whenever we're kind of lost, we'll use that mission to guide us back to, you know, what makes sense here. Okay. So for those of you who do or do not know, just brief reminder what the IDA can do, and then we'll talk briefly about what we can't do. So we can abate. The IDA has the power under general municipal law in New York State to abate three types of taxes. That's the sales and use tax on construction. It's currently 8%. We can abate the mortgage recording tax. So anytime you record a mortgage in New York State, you pay a tax on that. It's passed on directly to the communities. But here in Ulster County, I believe it is 0.075. So I'm doing my percentage is correct. Some counties it is higher, and the county keeps a portion of that. Maybe something you'd want to think about, but right now Ulster County does charge only the bare minimum on the mortgage recording tax, and we can abate that tax for IDA projects as well as for CRC projects. CRC projects, though, cannot abate the sales and use tax on construction. We can enter into we can abate future real property taxes in the form of pilot agreements. That's probably what most people are familiar with. And then we can issue tax exempt and taxable bonds. Primarily that is done through the CRC, which is the Capital Resource Corporation. It's a sister organization of the IDA for the purposes of serving our nonprofit community to issue tax exempt bonds. And when I say issue, the IDA does not loan the money. We're the conduit to issuing bonds. They still need to find either an investment group or a bank willing to purchase the bonds. So if you see something in the paper about the IDA issues a $30 million bond, and people are like, where did our money go? All we're doing is allowing a project access to tax-exempt bond financing. And that means that whoever purchases the bond does not have to pay federal taxes on the interest. So that's where the saving comes in there. I know that one's a little confusing. So, and then what we cannot do is we cannot give grants or loan money. So that's a big one. The IDA has no ability to loan or grant money. And in the municipal law, they even specify if it looks like you're trying to grant or loan money and call it something else, we still know what you're doing, so don't do it. And then we cannot abate the special district taxes or land taxes. So whatever the current assessed value is, that we can't touch that. Land taxes, there's improvements on the land, all that gets paid at 100%. The IDA cannot abate those, nor can we abate any special district taxes. When a project does get IDA incentives through the form of a pilot agreement, there are certain taxes that don't get abated on that. We never want to take from the, you know, existing tax base. We're only abating future taxes on newly assessed value after the project's completed. So I included this. I stole this from March Gallagher. It's a great slide. I feel like it's one of the better ones I've seen. It's simple, and it's just another way to kind of show what I was just talking about. For each pilot, you have this nice yellow plot of land. It's generating a certain amount of, you know, real property tax for that community, school district, county. And during the pilot period, right, after construction's completed, they have a newly assessed value up here. A pilot gives them a slow increase over a 10-year period. Most of our pilots are 10-year periods. We do have one 15-year period pilot. And that the newly assessed value is slowly phased in, but those current taxes due there also due here. And then after the pilot, they go back on the real property tax rolls at the full assessed value. Questions on how a pilot works? Try to speed through that for everyone here before we talk about updates. Okay. So now that we all know what the IDA does, how are we then implementing that mission here in 2025? So I thought I'd give some updates on what we did recently, what we're doing, and then if you have questions, we can go from there. So the end of 2024, some states with the IDA board passed a new housing policy with an updated housing matrix. So we're very excited about that. Housing is considered a commercial project, or it can be a senior housing, workforce housing. There's different ways we can define housing. It still has to fit under as a project as defined by the general municipal law. And so because housing specifically is kind of outside of a lot of the typical projects the IDA does, we wanted to have a matrix, which is how we evaluate projects that complement the needs of housing. And so there's things in there we're looking for: affordability, environmental sustainability. So it's a little bit more detailed on those ends where we don't get into typically those types of things on a typical pilot project. So we're very excited about that, and we're hoping that this can just be one tool of many to help ease the housing crisis and, you know, contribute to more housing here in Ulster County. Additionally, we formed a sustainable jobs task force and held a focus group in October. So again, the IDA does a lot of work. We have a matrix that helps us evaluate projects to determine what type of incentive and the incentive period that a project will receive from the IDA. And so we wanted to look at what can we do to improve that? Do we need to improve that? When we talk about sustainable jobs, well, how are we defining that? What does that mean? You know, are there things in maybe like, you know, clean energy or different types of manufacturing community? Ulster County, we have some phenomenal things going for us. The great outdoors is one of them. Our ability to lure clean tech companies here is maybe one where we could use some help. We want to make sure that if we need help, we're doing what we can as an IDA, you know, to help keep that ball rolling. So we're working on that. We plan to have that task force present to our governance committee with any recommendations likely early spring. I'm ready to present. You know, it's just getting the committee and enough time on the agenda. So that's ready. And then from there, we'll go to governance. Our governance committee will review any recommendations. If they decide to make any changes to our UTEP, everyone here would get notified. And we would solicit feedback in the form of a public hearing. So keep the radar open for that. We also had a new logo, as you can see. I'm sure Jay can emphasize with this, but if you're trying to use a logo in the shape of the county, it can be really hard to size that. If it says it perfectly, or it looks like we jet out, or we don't do things as nicely as we can. So we used the local company, Kingston Creative, and they worked with us to create a new logo, did a phenomenal job, board's really happy. They gave us three options, and the board chose this one, and I think it best illustrates what we're up to, as well as it's really easy for me to use, so I'm really happy about that. So that was 2024. And now, as the clock moves forward, we're kind of here, Q1 of 2025. So, some exciting things that happened is the board recently approved incentives for the New Paltz Way Hotel. So this is a hotel project located in the village of New Paltz. Right now, the village really doesn't have any kind of lodging, and so it's a very cool project. It has, it's kind of a boutique hotel. It's sitting, it's going to be taking the place of, like, there's an abandoned warehouse down on Water Street. Removing the old shed warehouse thing, they're going to be building a small boutique hotel. They're creating some clearance there, so there'll be better pedestrian access. There's going to be rail trail access. They're putting on a living roof, which I'm very excited to see. I'm having trouble imagining it, but I think it's going to be pretty cool. And this will help also support the college, too. You know, families are coming into town, want to see the college. It's not a lot of options, so in addition to being a tourism destination, it helps provide lodging options that the village desperately needs. So the board's very excited and proud of their work on that project. We have a public hearing tentatively scheduled. Sometimes the scheduling of this is a lot of who gets all the paperwork done first, but I've got my paperwork done, so I have it tentatively scheduled for the 17th. Those notices will go out as soon as it's actually confirmed. But Woodland Pond is looking for an issuance of tax-exempt bonds. So again, that's like a kind of a savings, I guess, that they receive directly from the federal government, but still requires a public hearing on the part of the IDA. You may have heard, it's been in the paper, they're doing some work on, I think, creating like improvements to some of the existing facilities, like a theater, things like that. So really exciting project, and they've come to us for a bond application. So the board did approve the public hearing to take place, and right now it looks like it's going to be on the 17th. Those notices should probably go out tomorrow morning, unless there's something I don't know, but we'll keep you posted on that. And then on February 5th, I know many of you who were here were there, which we thank you. We had an event held in partnership with SUNY New Paltz's School of Business called Land Here, Grow Here. And the purpose of that was to really walk people through the IDA process. You know, what can we do? How to apply? Our application process, timelines, talk about, you know, what incentives are available to potential businesses. And that was a huge success. I think we had 37 people in attendance. We fed everyone lunch. We had some great guest speakers as well. We had Josh Stratton-Reiner. I don't know why I struggle with his last name. But came from the Office of Economic Development to speak. We had Lisa Berger from Tourism speak, as well as Kristen Bacchus, the Dean of the School of Business, all spoke. We wanted to make sure that all the businesses who came left knowing what the tools that our county has to help support economic development. We had 16 relatively unknown entities to us. There were a few businesses that maybe had reached out in the past, which was really exciting. So there are businesses out there that are not necessarily working with the IDA, but they're interested in being a part of our community. And so the fact that we were able to get them in the room and hear about how Ulster County could support them was, you know, what we achieved what we intended to achieve. So we're really proud of that event. And then earlier this morning, we held another event out at the Rondout Municipal Center called, it was just a Four Communities event. I gave it a name, but it's not that. And I am, what did I call it? Oh, no, I did. Four Communities, Four Jobs.
For Ulster County.
For Ulster County. We had that event this morning, and that was a deep dive. We wanted to do a deep dive. We invited all of our affected, we call them affected taxing jurisdictions, so all of our school districts, school boards, We invited town supervisors, assessors, tax collectors. You name it, we invited them. And I would say we had probably relatively one representative from pretty much every municipality. We had about 25 people attend, a really good mix in the room. We had our counsel there to the IDA from Hodgkin's Rest, Chris Canada, and we went through it all. I mean, he was giving people the different laws, what we can and can't do, what forms assessors get, what they need to do, what's the time frame. I think it was really helpful for people because there's a lot that happens, and we've heard from municipalities that maybe have one pilot project. They feel like they're learning to, you know, fly the plane while they're building it. We don't want that to be the case. We also recognize that certain communities have budgets that they have to put together that are very complicated, and there can be a lot of pain points around pilots, and whether that's misinformation or real actual pain, we want to hear from you. We want feedback because we're always striving to be a partner with the community and not kind of the board on an island unto itself. So that was a really successful event, and again, we made sure that we fed everybody. And then coming up on the 19th is our annual report season. We also hand all of that over, big packet, gets sent to the legislature. Where it goes, I do not know. We do send it. So you know, available to you would be copies, and that includes our Paris report, our certified financial report, which is our audit by our outside accountant. We present this to the board on the 19th. Goes through all of our projects, every single project that receives incentives from the IDA, whether it's a bond or a pilot, gets annually reviewed by us. We go on site to projects. We collect a ton of information, job numbers, wages paid, did you pay your pilots? We compile all of that, and we present that to the board, gets sent to New York State, and then reviewed by the comptroller's office. So we're in the process of doing that, and that will also be available on our website. If you don't happen to get a 150-page hard copy, I totally understand. And then coming up in the next few months, the IDA Roadshow continues, and we have another event. We're just trying to nail down the exact details, but we did businesses, we did our municipalities, and now we're looking to do the community in general. We want this to be an evening event to make sure that as many people can attend as possible, and that's probably going to be May. And that's kind of our creating our future and just give people a general understanding of the IDA, economic development. I have a theme that I will not share yet because I haven't gotten the board's blessing on it, but I'm very excited about this year's kind of, you know, big theme and the presenters we'd like to see. So we're really excited to have that coming up. And I think, that's what we got going on. And then just briefly, so kind of just some things to have noodling around in your head while you're thinking, what can the IDA do? What do I need? So here's just some examples. I just want to throw some things out aside from what we've already kind of covered as our bread and butter. The IDA is here. We can help partner with ESD on opportunities, things like Fast New York, in other municipalities or counties. You'll see a lot of projects where maybe they need a lot of site work to be done in order for us to market this. You know, the IDA can help be a conduit for that. We can use IDA incentives to support priority sites for development. I know that's something we've talked with Dennis about, and it's a priority for the county to get certain sites developed. You can use us. We want to be supportive of those sites. We can look at our new housing policy. What can you do in terms of housing to bring more opportunities here for Ulster County? Again, that housing policy is there. Let's go out and, you know, make sure people take advantage of that. And then we're also looking to expand some of our services through the CRC for our smaller businesses and nonprofits. So this one, it's on governance's radar. We're waiting on a few things. One, to see what USITA does with their revolving loan fund. We don't want to have duplicate. We'd rather fill in needs that are not in existence. And then looking at ways that we can support smaller businesses where a pilot may not make sense and they're just looking for a sales tax or a mortgage recording tax abatement. So those are just some things on our radar, kind of lying ahead where the IDA is looking forward. And then I know I'm already like at 15 minutes-ish, so if you have questions, I know there's a lot.
It was great. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Legislator Stewart.
I just want to say, I'm upset that I missed the event today at the municipal complex, but
Your presentation at SUNY New Paltz, I thought was great, and there was at least five or six legislators present for that. So thank you for that. And also, I look forward to working with you and other legislators and the executive's office and Director Doyle in investigating housing opportunities at SUNY Ulster. So thanks.
Great. Legislator Nolan.
Thank you very much. Could you say a little bit more about what the changes regarding housing are in the matrix?
Yes. So we had had, try to keep this very brief. So the idea is had a very like this blanket housing policy, and they had a moratorium. They decided, you know what, this really needs to be flushed out. Let's put this on hold. So they put it on hold and worked tirelessly for many years. And finally passed one. And so some of the changes in there was we added commercial housing. So prior to that, we didn't have a category for commercial housing. It was senior housing, workforce housing, and then anything else we wouldn't approve unless we got approval from all the taxing jurisdictions. But if they didn't all approve it, then we would still approve it anyway. So it was very, very convoluted. It didn't give the board good direction. So now, instead of having that kind of back and forth circle, they decided to add in commercial housing projects. And in order to do so, we wanted to make sure there was a way to evaluate them. So that's where that matrix came in. So a commercial housing project, think mixed use. This isn't like a three-bedroom or accessory dwelling. This is going to be a project that's there that meets the definition of commercial, and there's several ways we test that, and we actually have to conduct a study, and the project has to pay for that. They have to meet the definition of a commercial project. So that's a very important first key. But once they do, then we're going to look at things like, is it creating jobs? So a mixed-use project is going to create more jobs. They're going to probably get more points. What are those jobs likely paying in wages? That's another place that they can get points. Then we're going to look at the environmental sustainability. We got some feedback from the Office of Planning as well as the County Executive about making that a little more rigorous. So another way that projects could add points was to use the HCR environmental standards. And then from there, and I don't have it in front of me, we have a community investment one. We've always had that. The more vendors from the community that you use, you know, the more points you can get. And then we looked at affordability. So first and foremost, we said, you have to have some affordability component. It can't just be all market rate housing. And the way that the board decided to measure that was, one, are you building in a community that already has a set aside for affordability? Has that community already decided what you want to see as affordable? If so, great, you checked the bare minimum. If not, are you using money from the federal government or another entity that requires you to have an affordability component? All right, great. And so someone else is monitoring that. If you are doing none of those things, then you kind of have to come and put your best foot forward and show us something. And then from there, we'll use, you know, whether it's, we have like a cost-benefit analysis, input during the public hearing, and the board would then decide what that bare minimum of affordability would have to be per project. What we board was very mindful of is there may be a community that feels very strongly that this is what I determine is affordable for the people that live in my community. And there could be another community that says, yeah, but wait, we're really trying to wine and dine this great company that's going to come here and they're going to bring 400 jobs and all those jobs are going to pay a minimum of $80,000 a year. And if it's, you set the affordability at this, none of the people that work there are going to be able to move in. So we wanted to give some power back to the municipalities to determine what that affordability minimum has to look like. So instead of saying 80% AMI or fair market rent, we wanted to look at it per project basis. So, and once you meet those, then you can apply. And that's just applying. And then the more affordable units you build, the more points they'll get. So hopefully that answered your question, but that's what it looks like. So.
Legislator Hewitt.
You mentioned you can't give loans or grants, and then later you said that you want to provide services to smaller businesses, and you mentioned the revolving loan fund.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just wondering why we think loans are good for small businesses when it puts them in debt.
Okay, great question. The IDA cannot loan money. The CRC is a similar structure to USTDA. And so we know that the county is working really hard on getting their revolving loan fund up and running. But one of the things that I've just been hearing anecdotally, we've not done any study, time after time from nonprofits is, hey, we have this grant over here, but it's a reimbursable grant. So I have to spend the money. I have to spend $80,000 first out of my own pocket. I don't have all of this unrestricted funds. I can't pull from this line item to put down the $80,000 to redo my pipes. So I can't take advantage of that. So that's really the lens. We're not looking to put, we're not looking to kind of create complex debt structures that leave projects in debt. I think the vision, and again, it really hasn't been fleshed out in governance, so I don't want to speak for the governance committee, but I think the vision is to support nonprofits who are kind of stuck in this chicken and the egg scenario, where if we could maybe provide some bridge funding to help with, hey, I can apply for this grant, I'll likely get it, but I don't have the money to put up for it because it's a reimbursable grant. And then they're going out and, bridge loan funding can be extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and we're trying to be a low cost option for that.
Thank you.
It's really great. Legislator Collins.
I have a project that needs that.
Okay.
Let me talk about that.
Sure. We'd be happy to kind of flesh out specific projects too. I'm always available to meet. Any other questions?
Hillary, we're in the same boat with the ag projects, so we're at an advantage. It's all reimbursable, so they pay out of pocket.
Yeah.
And once you receive a canceled check, we reimburse. We typically do it in 30 days. We've worked out with Walden Savings Bank short-term loans, and also a lot of farmers are able to get farm lines of credit.
Yeah.
But if you're getting over $100,000, it's tough. But typically our loan terms are about 3 months maximum.
Yeah. And again, we're kind of just at the, is there a true need for this before we dive into spending the board's time putting this together? So I think the first thing we're waiting to do is see what comes out of the revolving loan fund. If they're meeting that need, we don't need to also then be meeting that need because it's available. And then, if there is still a need, we want to get a little more information. I'm not a banker. I don't have a background in banking. So it's really great for me to say this. It's another thing to create kind of a banking structure. It's a little outside my scope. So these are just kind of things that our board feel are important to our mission. And so these are just things that you'll see kind of fleshed out in the next probably 6 months or so, and where they end up landing, I couldn't tell you at this point.
Great. Thank you so much for coming to visit us.
Thank you. And I appreciate all your time. I know I've overstayed my time.
You have, but I didn't want to mention.
I was fast here. All right. Well, thank you guys.
Say hi to the team.
I sure will.
Right.
All right.
Mike, you missed the part where she said he was in Albany.
I'm going there. As soon as I get out of here, I'm going off. Hey, take care.
All right. Let's continue with the meeting. So first on the agenda is we need to approve the February 4th regular meeting minutes.
I'll make the motion.
A second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Wonderful. And now we'll move on to resolutions for the March legislative session. The first resolution is number 86, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $360,150 entered into by the county, United Way of Ulster County, Inc., and Office of Employment and Training. The contract amendment is to extend the term agreement with United Way of Ulster County for payroll services for the Summer Youth Employment Program from 10/31/24 through 6/30/26.
The previous contract totaled $343,000, and it's a 100% federal program. Is that right?
For adoption.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great.
Sorry, I thought you were going to do some discussion.
Do we want to discuss?
I just want to know, about how many youth do we employ in that summer program?
On average, anywhere from 125 to 130.
I want to see 1,000.
I would love to see every youth that wants to have a job, have a job.
Mm.
Thank you.
Moving on. Resolution number 87, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $125,000 entered into by the County United Way of Ulster County, Inc. and Office of Employment and Training. This contract amendment is to extend the term agreement with United Way of Ulster County for payroll services for the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act Youth Employment Program from June 2025 through June 26th. The previous contract totaled at $100,000, and again, it was 100% federal. This is the year-round youth employment program. Any questions or discussion?
I'll move it.
I just make the motion to discuss.
To discuss. Great. Let's have a little discussion. Legislator Hewitt, did you have a question?
Seconds.
You need a second. Oh.
Second.
Okay.
Great. I'm wondering if you're feeling any effects from federal cuts or funding decreases.
So at this point, no, we do not. We are sort of guaranteed our disbursement until June 30th, so we're okay. We are anticipating cuts for the July 1 start of the new fiscal cycle, so we're waiting to see what that will look like. We have no idea at this point.
Great. Any other questions? Legislator Collins?
There's a typo in the description. The word agreement is spelled wrong. We're on.
That's an easy search.
No, we're on
87.
What's the
typo? 86. What's the typo? He said agreement is...
Right after extended term of... You just transpose the N for the T.
Oh.
In the resolution?
Yeah.
In the stiptic, the
picture?
What do you call it?
They call it a picture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In the little box?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm happy to report that this office is typo.
But we will fix it. Okay. Any other discussion on Resolution 87?
Chris Appa, our legislator, asked the question I was going to ask.
Mm-hmm. Great. Is there a motion to accept or approve?
Okay. This is the vote.
Hmm?
I think we did this first and second.
For the conversation. Now we're approving.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Wonderful. Resolution 87 is approved, adopted. Resolution number 88, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $650,000 entered into by the County United Way of Ulster County and the Office of Employment and Training. This contract amendment is to extend the term of agreement with United Way of Ulster County for payroll services for the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act Youth Employment Program from June 25 through June 26. And this is, again, a 100% federal contract. The previous contract totaled $625,000, and this is the academic year youth employment program. Questions? Discussion? Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion to move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Sharon. Oh, yeah. Okay. Great. Okay. Resolution number 89. So, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a lease extension agreement with iPark 87 Commercial LLC for the Ulster County Office of Employment and Training, Department of Public Works, Building and Grounds. So, it's not actually an extension. Yeah, Amanda, would you like to go ahead?
It's not an extension. It's a new lease
agreement. So, we need to make a motion to amend the title to strike extension from the title.
I'll make the motion to strike the word extension.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor on the amendment?
Aye.
Okay. Is there any questions or discussion on the resolution as amended? Is there a motion?
I will move it as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Jade, really proud of you for getting that right. Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Jade's really proud of you for getting that right.
She taught me well. I don't listen very well, but every once in a while, I can learn something.
All right. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you for your support.
Have a great night.
Here, good to see you.
Resolution number 90, setting a public hearing as required under Article 25AA of Ag Markets Law on the 8-year review of Ag District Number 3 and providing direct notice to affected municipalities to be held on April 15th, 2025 at 7:05 p.m. or as soon thereafter as a public can be heard, Department of Planning.
This will move it for adoption.
I'll second it for adoption.
All in favor?
Aye.
Gotta wake them up. All right. So that's that one. Resolution number 91, authorizing a right to cross the right-of-way owned by Ulster County of the Ulster and Delaware Railroad Corridor near mile point 3.8, City of Kingston, west of Westbrook Lane, Kingston Plaza, to Tesla Inc. Department of Planning.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Is there a second on discussion?
Second.
Okay, let us discuss. Legislator Hewitt.
I just wanted to mention there were three no's in energy, environment, and sustainability, and a discussion of the exclusivity of the Tesla charging. Legislator Nolan made a good point about how there is an adapter for other hybrids, but also I was a no because I don't want to support Tesla.
This is great. Okay. So I have some research here that I asked the clerk to do before this meeting. So as of January 25, any non-Tesla EV except for the Nissan Leaf and the Mitsubishi Outlander plug-in hybrid electric vehicle, which use an incompatible plug standard, can currently charge at one of the limited number of Tesla superchargers. So, still pretty limited.
But it's part of our green fleet initiative.
Okay. Legislator Nolan?
Yeah, I could just expand on
it. I mean, it's mentioned in some of the whereases, but this is providing expanded availability to the public. And the cost of this would be borne by Tesla. So what's being given up here is something that when we do charge for it, I think the director of planning said it has less than $1,000 value if we did charge them for this permit. But the Haverford Plaza itself is quite generous in terms of its cooperation with county initiatives And so I think to allow this to be there as an amenity for Hannaford Plaza is important. I think that to allow it to be there for the public that can use it, which is not every EV driver, but many EV drivers, in addition to Tesla drivers, is a good thing. So I don't think it harms anyone. We haven't had any other charging entity come and ask to do this, and it wouldn't necessarily be exclusive. I mean, there could be potentially be some other charging entity that wanted to put up something could come to us, and we could still entertain that. So I don't see the downside. I do see the importance of protest votes for this company at this time. I understand that. I just hope that we wouldn't defeat the resolution and the ability to make these amenities available to the public through our desire to make some kind of statement.
Legislator Stewart.
I'm going to be a no. It's and this is a protest vote regarding Tesla and what's currently happening at the federal government. So I will be a protest vote no on this.
Legislator Clinton.
I too will be a no vote for the same reasons stated. And it should be noted that I own a Tesla.
Are you going to, like, put a sticker on it and sell it and donate your money to NPR?
I only could. That's all that's crossed my mind.
Can I just ask a question? So if ChargePoint were to come to us to say, hey, we want to put this in, we're going to pay for it, and there was, like, a similar offer, I mean, is that outside the realm of possibility? I'm asking Amanda.
Oh, no. I mean, the only thing we're approving here is allowing them to go through our county property.
Right.
We're not proponing to buy from this one or buy from that one. This is just a proposal to cross our UND railroad right away. I mean, if Central Hudson came or
anybody
came, it's because it's crossing county property.
But the question I asked was if ChargePoint came and it asked for the same, like, is there a possibility that ChargePoint could do the same thing?
Cross our right away?
Yeah.
They would have to come just like this guy is.
That was my question.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So,
please.
If I may, the answer would be yes with a caveat. Caveat being is that they have to go to someplace on the other side, in this case the plaza, so they would need approval from the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
So Tesla has submitted, or the plaza has submitted, a site plan showing the location of these chargers. So there's not just our crossing, you also have to have the plaza's permission as well.
So can I just follow up on that? So the plaza, did the plaza go to Tesla or did Tesla go to the plaza?
I believe that Tesla came to the plaza. I can't be sure of that, but I believe that that is the case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Likely story. Anybody else? Legislator Hewitt?
Thank you. I'm typically a protest vote on Axon as a company in law enforcement for their body cameras because of all the weaponry that they build. And when I looked up their market capitalization, it's a $43 billion company, and our county adds to that wealth. And so when someone like Elon Musk is gutting our government like it's a business, I just looked up their market capitalization. It's $852 billion that a year that we're contributing to. And so I'm not sure if Elon Musk ever heard people say no to him, but I want to say no. So it's based on us supporting financially people like him. And when they're able to land contracts in every municipality across the state, that's why he's got $852 billion a year coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a protest. No, it's more about how we do business as counties and how this is extractive money that are enriching billionaires to take advantage of us.
I'm sympathetic to that line of reasoning. What I don't see here is that we're adding any capital to them. And I have a little bit of an inclination when an individual or an organization is doing some good things and some bad things, to try to encourage them to do the good things. And the Tesla Corporation by promoting EV usage in the United States has been very much on the good side. So I don't have a points calculator like The Good Place. I suggest everybody watch The Good Place and see how this particular question would be handled there. That would be good. I think it's a self-educational value. But I think that we're not doing much. It's really Hannaford Plaza, by cooperating with this, is really doing the most. This is something that is not of much value. It helps Hannaford Plaza as much as it does Tesla, and it does help those drivers of both Teslas and anybody who can buy an adapter for their EV. So I think the harm to the universe on this one is very small, and the potential benefit is very good. If you're not a utilitarian, then that argument doesn't carry. So I understand. And those who haven't expressed an opinion yet could move this out of committee. I would say that this did move out of the Energy and Environment and Sustainability Committee, even though it was a split vote.
Cool question.
Well, I have one more question. What happens if it doesn't go through?
So, clearly, the railroad ownership by the county, the right to cross, is somewhat enshrined in railroad statute. That, you know, there's an old saying from a railroad place person is, if you have a railroad right of way, you own from heaven to hell. And so even if they try to get across aerial, they'd be running into a similar situation. I would say that there is, in this instance, there is another Tesla crossing being proposed, not crossing, but in existence, where they're going, where there's already right of way across our railroad now on the west end of the plaza, and they're going to be installing fast chargers there. Mm. So you'd lose this fast charger installation on the east end in that instance. We did, quite frankly, in looking at this, first of all, I want to say that, you know, this came to us. We didn't go looking for it. And the second thing I would say is one of the things we did question in terms of who owns the infrastructure underneath the railroad. Clearly, if it was utility, Central Hudson, et cetera, owned it, I would suspect we'd have a little bit different conversation. But from my perspective, I would think that if you don't approve the crossing, they're literally not going to be able to install those chargers at that end.
And what if we were to tell or ask Hannaford have a conversation with ChargePoint?
So I think that's certainly, from my perspective, the idea of other people being in here is important. But I would suggest that one of the things that's important is our bus facilities down there may meet charging infrastructure as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you basically say no and there's some revenue associated with the plazas associated with these chargers, we do have a substantial amount of bus facilities that mm-hmm. use their plaza. We also have the discussion with respect to how to treat that facility down there right now in terms of the bus shelter that's down there. I would suspect that, you know, those conversations would be less cordial than they are right now. Okay. That's the only thing I would say. But I don't see any resistance to additional charging stations down there from the plaza's perspective. There's also other indications that fast chargers are being installed by the federal government. For example, behind Bank of America, there's a fast charging facility, what they call a NEVI facility, that was installed back there. And I'm not sure that Tesla cars can use those or not.
That one is CCS.
Yeah.
So they would require an adapter.
Yeah.
And those are the main plug standards yeah. right now. You mentioned the Leaf and the Mitsubishi. Those work on what was the Japanese standard, the CHAdeMO, and those are being phased out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, Tesla is moving to the standardized plug from types.
Mm-hmm. Questions?
Yeah, I understand the protest no vote. Personally, I have a beloved nephew who's a research scientist for USAID in D.C., and he has a six-month-old, and he was laid off 3 weeks ago. So I do get that. Mm-hmm. But I really tend to agree with Legislator Nolan on this, that, we're not spending money. We're just giving permission, I guess. But I think the greater good would be in the affirmative with due respect to the protest votes.
Amanda?
I just wanted to add that generally, fast charging infrastructure is very expensive, easily going into the six-figure range. There has been some funding that, the NYPA has worked with federal and state funding to do things like the fast chargers behind Bank of America. The county is also installing right now some fast charging infrastructure in front of development court. So those hopefully will come online in a few months. However, generally, although I'm sure it's all part of a plan, that the installation of fast charging infrastructure like Tesla's doing is generally considered a loss, kind of immediately to the business, even charging for the electricity because of the demand charges and because of the cost of the development and the equipment. I'm sure they're wanting to see, part of the strategy there is for the wider adoption of EVs as people have places to charge in various destinations. So it's part of a business model, but it is kind of a significant investment in infrastructure that can support wider EV adoption in a place.
So, Legislator Nolan.
So, one way of saying that would be if you really want to stick it to them, let them have this and let them spend their money here. Mm-hmm. They'll be losing money, and then you can do whatever else you want against the company. But we could be sticking it to them by giving them access. Now, this is a directional bore from one side of the corridor to the other. And So what the harm to us is only in terms of our feeling that we're cooperating with something bad. And I think that we can have that feeling and also feel like we're cooperating with something good in terms of all those people that are going to be encouraged to use EV and help us with our climate change initiatives. So the balance for me clearly goes towards let's do the good on this and kind of hold our nose if we think that we should be holding our nose.
I do have a question that's kind of related, and it's more about who maintains our charge point, like updates and fixes, because I've heard there's a lot.
Right here.
Okay.
So we have a vendor who can do repairs for us, but make sure you let folks in Department of Environment know that there are issues. They're generally aware. Sometimes fixes are easy, sometimes they're more difficult, but you can let me know also where the specific complaint is.
Yeah. Maybe we need like a QR code or something.
Okay, I'll put it together.
Yeah.
I heard just a couple of complaints, so I'll just write to you, Amanda.
Legislator Walls.
Yeah, maybe I'm being redundant, but I do get the protest vote. I just think I would hate to see this go by the wayside, because I think, it's standing in the way of progress. And it involves other people, the Hannaford Plaza, the Tesla folks, and other.
Well, as it says, it's not just for Teslas; it's for other, except for the other two, the Nissan and the Mitsubishi. So, it's pretty compatible.
I I've purchased an adapter for Tesla. I haven't gotten it set up, so I don't think I have any particular, you know, benefit from this going forward or not. But the adapter costs $100.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively small in comparison to the price of the vehicle.
Just a clarification.
Yeah.
Yeah, if this gets defeated, it's not going to affect the individual that, you know, protest vote is geared to, but it will affect a lot of other people in our county, in our area, that in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's vote.
The question.
On the question.
Go ahead.
All in favor?
Aye. Is that four?
Three. Oh, I'm gonna be an aye.
Four.
All against?
Perfect result.
Okay. What was the tally?
Adopted 4-3.
Perfect. Thank you. Good conversation, folks. All right. The next one is resolution number 92, appropriating funding to support and strengthen the local food system and foster sustainability. This is sponsored by Minority Leader Roberts and co-sponsored by Legislator Deborah Clinton of Gardner. The resolution appropriates $350,000 in funding to enhance and sustain the Ulster County Emergency Feeding Network. It's to be overseen by the Department of Economic Development. And the funds are to be distributed to organizations providing food to individuals and families facing food insecurity. No later than September 1, 2025, the Director of Economic Development should submit a report to the clerk of the legislature for distribution and review by our committee, detailing plans for implementation of the appropriation. Questions or comments?
What a great thing.
Yeah, let's feed the people.
I'll move it for adoption.
1 second, hold on. hold your horses. Legislator Clinton.
Yes, thank you. So I think that this is very important as food, in my opinion, should be a basic human right, and that is not always the case. And I see up close and personal a lot of times families and children that deal with food insecurity, and approximately 1 in 8 families in New York State deal with food insecurity. And we know that with those situations, it lends itself to a lot of chronic health issues. And with the uncertainty of future federal funding towards food supports, I think this is super important. However, I would like to make a slight amendment to this, which would just be to change all references from economic development to the planning department.
Ooh. Is that something?
Just where all the references say,
oh, yeah,
development, it should be planning department.
Okay.
I believe that's incorrect.
Sorry. Go ahead, Amanda.
I want to thank you for continued support. This started with an ARPA-sponsored project through the planning department to work on food access and security. And that project has done a lot to convene and support a wide array of organizations involved in emergency feeding of the counties. It has done a lot to kind of bring together and have them learn from their peers and also provide information for our facilitators for this project and our project kind of organizers, at Family Woodstock, needs assessments, as well as looking at how they can work better as a system to do this important job. And there was also a separate contract under the existing ARPA program with the Community Foundation for the Hudson Valley, which handles these small grants, because they're really pros at doing small grants. They were very generous in that they didn't charge the county an administration fee. involved, and all the money that was with contract with Community Foundation was going directly to this emergency feed organizations. And in discussions with planning, we'd very much like to continue that work and potentially have another round of grants, again, partnering with Community Foundation. We don't know if they'll have the same ability to absorb the admin for the next round, but it's been a good model. It's been Kristen Wilson has really picked up that work in the planning department, and there wasn't really a lot of support from the county, so it's been good work down there, and it's great to continue it. So thank you.
Dennis?
Just if I can, I just want to add to that. I just want to add that, you know, we spent a great deal of time putting this together, and then the grant part is easy. It's essentially trying to figure out who needs what, which is difficult, and we've been, Chris has put in a lot of effort into that. One of the things I would say is that when we looked at the ARPA grant, one of the things that was in our criteria was essentially sustainability. So if you think about sustainability, we were basically funding capital improvements. Think of these as shelves, refrigerators, trucks or something, or others types of things. The interesting part about this is that when we looked at the applications we've got, a lot of those applications came back for operating costs, and not so much food costs, but operating costs. When you think about a grant that's a one-year grant, the operating costs become pretty unsustainable because what happens next year? So when you start to think about this and when we start putting this together, the question then becomes is, given where we are, we may really start to think about funding operating costs and actual food costs. And some of this has to do with we don't know what's happening at the federal level. And if there's changes in SNAP benefits, et cetera, that come down, we may find ourselves in substantial need for these types of funds at the food pantry level. So we're well aware of that, and we're thinking of that. So as this money comes through, we'll come back to you and say, this is where we think we're going, but given where we are now, we think we've met some of the major needs from the pantry perspective, except for operating costs. And you think about these as rural pantries and even other pantries moving tons of food with people that are older than I am, and that's pretty old. But seriously, I think that, you know, those are the kinds of things we need to think about. We may end up doing some of the staffing work. Conversations have been with others, particularly family, that the ability to deliver some of the food to the motels and hotels from the Hodge Center in Kingston were closed because of the fact that they just couldn't find the money to pay the staff. They had the food, but they couldn't find the money to pay the staff. So thinking about this moving forward, we would look at both a capital needs, if any, and then also looking at staffing needs. So you may see some, if you hear anything, you may see some changes in terms of what we're looking to fund with respect to this kind of work. And we have to have this conversation. All of this, quite frankly, is without a conversation with our provider here, and that is the Community Foundation. So we need that conversation.
Great. I just have one piece of housekeeping. Is Legislator Roberts in agreement with your proposal for the amendments?
I have not had an opportunity to speak to him. However, I'd like to think yes, considering it's just putting it in the right department's location. It's not a substantial change, I think, other than just making sure that it's assigned to the right location.
Okay. We'll confirm with him.
Okay.
But you can make it tonight.
Okay.
Okay, Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I have concerns about the food security program that we have out with community foundations right now, and I want to be as encouraging as possible with my comments right now because I'm happy about your progress and everything that you're learning with the community foundation. But I think it's important for this committee to know that the contract for that ARPA food security funding said that checks would be cut by May 2024. The announcements were made in October 2024. So I have gotten frustrated calls from a variety of people who have received this funding who still have no check. They had to close during the holidays. They expected to feed people during the holidays, but the checks didn't arrive before the holidays. What I heard was no one was writing back because everyone was maybe embarrassed that the checks didn't go out for the holidays. And here we are, March
4th and still no checks have been received by all these people who received funding. So I'm wondering, Dennis, do you know why?
With these, I don't, but we could certainly follow up on it.
Great.
And we'll give you those answers and get the checks out. But we did have a fairly lengthy approval process.
An email went out to the recipients yesterday from the community foundations that said, we finally received the money. You should have checks by Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So
it's on our end, not their end.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Do you think this funding stream will be different and more efficient? And finally, who is judging the grants, the county or the community foundation?
So a couple things with respect to that. One is there's always a learning curve with respect to grants and with respect to working through this. So I would think, A, it would be more efficient, and B is that with respect to the judging, it is within the community foundation, and Kristen is the only person that I'm aware of the county that sits on that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yes.
My only question is this the right number? It seems like an arbitrary number. And I don't know how to judge that from a ways and means kind of point of view when I saw this in front of me.
Dennis.
But we were not oversubscribed relative to the grants that were requested. But we did have substantial amount of requests for operating assistance. And I have to do the math in my head, but they probably wouldn't equal the number that we have here. But once we do a call and recognize the fact that this has changed, I would suspect that a lot of the pantries are going to tell us that they need operating assistance. And for the normal things you would think of, which is electric, et cetera, it would really be for staff, so for some of the staff work that needs to get done.
Any other questions or comments?
Legislator Minority Leader Roberts as well. Okay, with the change.
Thank you for that. Okay, all in favor?
Amendment.
Oh.
Cool.
Make sure the budget line has changed
off. Okay. The budget line.
Wow.
Thank you.
Send the money to the right place.
Yeah. Okay. So motion to approve as amended.
Motion to amend the resolution as presented.
Yeah.
Nope.
Close.
Motion to amend.
Motion. Is there a motion to amend the resolution?
I'll second.
All in favor? Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt resolution 92 as amended.
Yes.
I'll
second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Sweet. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. So moving right along, that wraps up our resolutions. I do want to call attention to our 4-H director over at Cornell Cooperative Extension. This is Andrew. He's here tonight on behalf of Cornell Cooperative Extension. There was an invitation from CCE to participate in the Ag Lit Week, which is March 17th through 21st, which was an email out to all legislators last week. If you haven't signed up and you want to sign up, you should sign up. If you have any issues signing up, let me or Jay know. Andrew, I signed up yesterday. I'm going to Highland. I got 2 classes. They better be ready.
I'm sorry. This is for what?
Ag Literacy Week. So it's like little storybooks about farming, reading.
Is it that last year? It was very nice.
Okay. Andrew, is there anything you want to talk about or tell us?
So again, just thank you guys. Here on behalf of Melanie, who I think is typically joins these meetings. And especially if you have any connections with some local schools and staff members, that'd be a huge help at this stage, because it is obviously upcoming. If there was classrooms that you visited last year, if you did participate, or if there's someone you know down the street, someone in your family, whoever it may be, that is in a school, elementary school, typically this is K to third or fourth grade, but I think it can be adjusted to fourth or fifth grade, but definitely not so much at the middle school level. But we'd obviously love to have you guys participate and connect in any way possible moving forward. And I've seen
Let's sit
around at CCE event and some other folks.
I'm the only farmer here.
Not true.
You know, that's not true. I'm a farmer.
Okay.
Like micro.
We're not going to visit the definition.
Right. Lifelong.
But I have two other familiar faces. So, again, just thank you guys for some time, and I hope you guys can consider it and join if possible.
Great. Thank you for being here.
Chime in about TC.
Okay.
Guys are still doing tractor safety, which is
good.
We got a bunch of sign-ups.
Yep.
Grant's my good friend. And then we had we partnered with you at the Beginning Farmer Series last month. And there was an impressive turnout of 17 people before a snowstorm. So that went very well. I ate all the refreshments.
It's very a lot having left over. So thank you for your part.
Great. Yes.
I would like to change my vote on resolution number 92 and recuse myself for purposes of.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Should we get that for a moment?
Got it.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to say is that the 2024 annual report submitted by the county exec for departments under this committee's purview was a full sent out earlier this week, but that we should have specific ones to this committee. Is it in the OneDrive?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're in the OneDrive, so you can review them there. Is there any new business? Is there any old business? Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
For adjournment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a nice life.
Thank you.